Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Picture yourself at a dinner table with people you haven't met before. You're trying new foods, and the conversation is focused on the attitudes, beliefs, and customs of people from different backgrounds.
That's the experience you have at a diverse dining event in Milwaukee. It's a project that started just about a year ago that aims to build connections and compassion.
Emerald Mills is an experienced facilitator who has spent 16 years working for nonprofits and other organizations that focus on community and health education. She's the founder of Diverse Dining, and she joins us from our studio in Milwaukee. Emerald, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
What inspired you to start this diverse dining experience?
Well, so many things served as inspiration for me starting the business. I think what finally pushed me or drove me to do it was just the current climate that we live in, and more particularly some of the statistics, the negative statistics that we often hear about the city of Milwaukee and it being a very segregated or most segregated city, and just wanting to change the narrative and help people build more authentic relationships, including myself.
I understand that you grew up in a place where you didn't feel like things were that divided, where people who came from different backgrounds, they ran into each other, they talked to each other, and Milwaukee was kind of a shock to you.
Correct. It was. I grew up in Zion, Illinois, so it was a much smaller town and smaller community. To my knowledge, it just was normal to speak and greet and show compassion and caring and concern when your neighbor or anybody in that environment had an issue. And it just seemed to feel a little different when I moved here. I could definitely tell that there were restrictions or not so much specific, but there were definitely barriers that seemed to be put up to say, you should be with this group of people, you should be with this group of people, and I didn't particularly like it. So,
and dining is half the story here. Why is it important that food is part of the story when you bring people together?
Well, as I was thinking about what I would do and how I would do it, I realized one of the places where you don't see or you see the least amount of segregation typically is around food or at restaurants. People tend to venture out just by their own curiosity and just by way of, I think, enjoying good food. So it just seemed to be a place that if you did see people crossing paths or crossing communities, it typically was in a restaurant setting. In addition to that, I just love food and good food. And I think that I have also studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs for a series of years and majoring in communication in college, and understand that when people's basic needs are met, they're a little bit more open and less defensive to receive more information. So,
talking to Emerald Mills, founder of Diverse Dining in Milwaukee. Emerald, talk us through it. If we show up, if we schedule one of these events and show up, what do we experience as a participant?
So first of all, you can book me with your company, and I can do one there. Or if you come to an event in the community, the way the event would look would be you first would have a requirement to not sit by someone you know. So we would require that you sit with a stranger. We make it a little bit easier because we create custom icebreakers that are focused on a specific topic. So through that icebreaker, you get to learn about things that you typically wouldn't learn about an individual by a way that you're not coming up with your own question or feeling like you're asking a question that may be appropriate, but having a guided way to interact and have certain conversations. And then once you move from that, we typically do an introduction of the evening, who I am with Diverse Dining, who our facilitator may be that day, as well as we give you a little bit more of an in-depth understanding of the restaurant that we may be hosting in or the space that we're hosting in, things that you typically wouldn't know if you just walked in the door and sat down and had dinner. After that, we typically play maybe a brief game before we have a dialogue from whoever the guest speaker is of that night about whatever subject we're focusing on. So we've had conversations about things like vulnerability, as well as things more specific to culture, like understanding misconceptions of the Asian culture. So depending on the topic, we would have a facilitator who has a personal story about that subject talk us through that. Then we close with a call to action and discussion questions that we all talk about together from our own experiences before we wrap up the night.
Emerald, is there fear sometimes of people coming in and sitting and eating and talking with people from different backgrounds, fear that either, hey, I'm going to say something that really offends somebody, or one of these other people here is going to say something horrible that's going to offend me?
Well, I think that we do a great job of helping people with that. I think naturally, without having a guided process, there's definitely fear. People typically come in not knowing what they're going to get, but we do set ground rules before we start and help people to understand that if people are walking in and paying for tickets to come to something like this, then they probably have at least a curiosity and at least a sense of wanting to know and wanting to understand. So we serve up a lot of compassion and understanding at our dinners to make sure that people are not judging other people and really trying to hear what people's questions are so that they can be answered.
What kind of things do you hear from people after they've done diverse dining experiences?
Oh, God. Well, first of all, I have some close friends that have come to one and now have been at all of them. One of my actual team members now started out at our first event at the Tandem a year ago. We get together and talk on the phone at least once a week. I've been to her barbecues, which we have diversified quite a bit. We build great relationships. So people who have come here from other states say that they feel welcome and at home. One quote from a guy who came said that we make uncomfortable conversations tasty and tasteful, and I steal that quote quite a bit myself.
Now, your next event is a little unique, it sounds like, on June 25th, coming up pretty soon. What's the focus of your next event?
So, again, we do focus on more than just race and diversity and race. Our next event is Turning the Tables, and it's a kid-focused event. So we'll have kids speaking about diversity from their perspective or just their own experiences, and adults will get to listen to how they see life and how they experience life from their lens. And that event is June 25th at 6 p.m. at 88.9 radio station.
Do you have lessons that people might take home in their daily lives that you've learned along the way that might help people build a bridge with somebody that they wouldn't have talked to otherwise?
Well, I think the lesson is, you know, though we are all different, I mean, I think one is every person is different, even if you look alike. But then every person probably has a common thread that makes them the same. And so though we definitely all have differences, whether you're all white or all black or all young or all old, we also have a common thread as human beings that make us connected. And so if we can get past the things that separate us and sometimes give people a certain level of compassion and grace to understand where they're coming from before we defend or get angry or upset, or just being able to know you're wrong and learn from that experience, then we all can grow and live in an environment that's better for everybody.
Like you said earlier, this isn't really what we see in the news a lot. We see the differences and the divisions. Do you think with a little work we can overcome at least a lot of that?
Well, I definitely think that we would have to duplicate this effort in a massive amount, and hopefully I'll have some influence in doing that. But I definitely know that the relationships that have been formed through the dinner conversations have helped change and shape me as an individual, as well as others who come around the table. So I definitely think that the work can be done. It just will need to be done by more people.
You mentioned that you've grown and changed just in this year you've been doing it. What kind of things have you learned about yourself in this year of diverse dining?
Well, I learned that that's a good question. I've learned that I think what I kind of mirrored earlier that, you know, that we all are different and being different is okay, that just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean you block them on Facebook or you don't have to be in a room with them. I think that I've learned how to navigate a little bit better those conflicts that come up. I also believe that, you know, conflict is just a part of life. If there's no conflict, then you remove growth, you remove the ability to change their perspective. So I've learned that I'm okay with that, and I also have learned I'm a little more daring than I think to start some kind of initiative like this on my own. So,
Emerald, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Yep, thanks for having me. Have a good one.
You too. That's Emerald Mills, founder of Diverse Dining. She joined us from our studio in Milwaukee. The next dinner is on June 25th. There's details available on their website. We've got a link posted on the Central Time page over at WPR.org.